This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. How's it going, Sean?
Very good. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Awesome. Having a good week?
We are, yes. It's been an awesome week and positive vibes, and nothing but positive vibes here at the office, so it's good.
Yeah, I think people are excited, and we're getting, if you didn't notice last week that we talked about challenging times and learning and overcoming and get knocked down and get back up. And so we've gone through our challenges recently, and now it's time to rebuild.
Yeah, we have. And I think this episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about it as well. So we'll keep going with it. But so one question that we oftentimes get from our, anybody that we come across is like, getting started in business, you know, we've been in business now for 22 years. Mm-hmm. Is there anything different that you have done if you would have started off all over again?
A whole lot of things.
Right? And yeah, we have to think about that. And absolutely. I mean, we started off literally knowing nothing. I mean, we got out of, in college buying houses and just kind of learning how as we've gone, right? And it's lots of challenges along the way, lots of bumps and bruises, failures, and I don't know if we're just stupid. We just keep getting up, keep going.
I think we're a little naive, or just, we enjoy pain, I think.
I think so.
I was talking about this morning.
The life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, morning huddle, it's just the only difference between many people and myself is just, or ourselves, is we just, we keep getting back up. We get knocked down, we get back up. We scrape our knees, we get back up.
Yeah.
Bloody and bruised, but we just keep doing it. It's like, that was fun. Let's go do it again. And we learn every time.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that we've learned, and from it, every experience, every challenge that we've had, we've learned from it.
Correct. And so, but going back to your question, so we often get asked is like, what would you have done different? Like, if you could just pick one thing, mm-hmm. one major thing, what would you have done differently from the get go? And we thought about this, and we thought long and hard, and we're like, you know what? Really, the main thing, and I think where we have learned the most, and where we've made probably the most mm-hmm. amount of mistakes as well, is just in managing people.
Yeah.
And it comes always back to your people. So you have your stakeholders in your company, and depending on what those are, like for us, it's our residents, it's our owners, it's our employees or team members. Mm-hmm. And then, a lot of times it's investors or I'm missing somebody. Oh, and then our vendors, that we work with. And mm-hmm. those are your major stakeholders. But probably by far the most is your people.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it today. But a lot of it comes down to how you manage them, how you keep them accountable, how you find them. But good people can do incredible things in your organization.
Absolutely. They are the key to your organization, really. So focusing on and putting emphasis on that, on your people, is crucial.
Yeah. And one thing we didn't realize, I think, when we got started, especially in the property management, because for years, when it was just Joni and I buying houses, we had vendors and, agents and lenders mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But there were more like third-party vendors that we work with. We didn't have to manage a lot of staff in our business, so it was mainly just you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got into the property management business, all of a sudden, property management requires a lot. It's capital intensive. It requires a lot of people,
absolutely,
to do the day to day operations and to
so many moving parts in this industry. And I talk to a lot of franchises. Mm-hmm. I coach and kind of mentor a lot of business owners, and one thing I notice is that they think that they can do it themselves. Like, I can do it better. I'm just going to do it myself. And they don't realize that key aspect of they need people to get them to that next level.
Correct. And we've, I think when we say like mistakes, we made tons of mistakes in hiring and firing, and that's the right time and keeping people accountable. But if we could have gone back and redone it all again, mm-hmm. I think the big thing that we would have done differently was we would have put more emphasis on it. Mm-hmm. So I think when you're, especially like if you haven't hired an employee, because like Joni's mentioned, because of our virtual assistant business, we get to mentor and help a lot of people within the property management space with their virtual assistants. And And they're usually coming to us with hiring their first employee. And a lot of times the virtual assistant is their first employee. Yeah. But what we would have done a lot different, you know, going back, is we would have put a lot more emphasis on recruitment, on development, on management of team members. Yeah. And we would have, I think people do it in an afterthought, you know, like, oh, I need an employee, I need help. Well, let's just go put an ad in, like, just, and then just hire somebody and fill the seat. And then, okay, well, how do I hold them accountable? How do I train them? How do I develop them? How do I put them on the right path where they're, you know, successful? And you just don't think about it all until afterward, until you make mistakes, or they quit on you because you didn't have a good career plan for them, or multiple things that could go wrong. But the a lot of it has to do because you didn't start with intentional from the get-go and developing them.
Totally agree. And I think looking back, we would have maybe studied other offices that had a great company, had a great culture, and were growing their people and their leaders, right?
Yeah.
We didn't do any of that. We kind of, you know, of course, we got mentors in buying houses and all of that, but really didn't put that extra emphasis on, you know, studying other companies that had done it right.
Yeah, or people that had larger teams. Mm-hmm. I think in the beginning, we were always looking for like the secret sauce. And I think a lot of business owners, a lot of business owners are looking and studying other businesses.
What's the next hot topic?
Or their competitors, they're studying and like, okay, what's the magic sauce? What's the magic bullet that's going to get me X amount, you know, 10X my business? But a lot of times it's not necessarily like some secret. It's not like there's some secret way to manage a property or like some way better way of doing, or even a better technology. Majority of the time it comes down to good people. If you look at it, and we've done this over the years and been surrounded by some of the best property managers or developers and plumbing companies in the country, yep. And a lot of it all that they do better is they have great people.
Yep. And they are either going to make it a horrible experience or a great experience. Correct. Is your people.
Yeah. And they know good people are also going to take the reins and help further your company a lot further than you could as an entrepreneur. So if you put the right people in place, they should elevate your company, and they should come up with some of the processes. They should come up with, see things that maybe you just couldn't see as a, even though you're a visionary, sometimes in the execution, they can do it a lot better than
absolutely.
You
can. So, I say that all the time. Like, my people are smarter than me, and that's how you want it to be.
Absolutely. So, because if you're not, then you're usually, if you're the smartest one in the room, then you're not growing and you're not getting better. So, you know, that's really what we would have gone back and started over. We would have really developed we would have studied. If I could do it all over again, I would have at the beginning started like reading books on hiring, because I've done this over my career, but it's usually after like, okay, I make a bunch of bad hires. I'm like, well, what am I doing wrong? Oh, you don't have a hiring process. So you're just, you know, just taking anybody that looks good or that you get along with.
Yeah.
And that's like you don't need a bunch of people that you get along with in your organization,
right,
or that are just like you, because that's not going to lead to good success. So stuff like that, you got to have like, okay, all the way down to like make it simple. Like, okay, how are you going to place the ads? What's your ads going to say? Who are you going to hire to write your job ads so that they're enticing and they attract people, the right talent? Who are you attracting? What kind of process are you going to do to screen people out to get the right people and to follow the rules? Are you going to, how are you going to interview them? Are you going to start with a phone interview, and then are you going to have them do an office interview, and then who else is going to interview them in your organization to make sure they're the right culture fit? But like, document everything in a clear and good process.
Absolutely.
I would have done that all over again.
Also having a like solid employee playbook, right?
Yeah. Is crucial, because we've revamped it, and
having job descriptions lined out, like your employees need to know what they're doing.
Correct.
Right?
And they hold you to that. Cause I think if you, especially as a young entrepreneur, you just start throwing things onto employees and they're like,
this is not what I was supposed to do. This is not what I got hired for.
And then if they do, they usually want to be paid more. Mm-hmm. So if it's clearly defined, it's documented, people relate to that a little bit better.
I agree.
having your core values, you know, is crucial. That's in the beginning.
That's huge. It's something that we go through in our company every single day is, you know, what are our core values? What do we stand for? It should be everywhere. It should be printed everywhere, on your walls, you know, everywhere.
And you should be going over it, you know, at least weekly. Like Brett this morning went over in detail with our whole organization. And just it just helps to reemphasize why, what do they mean? Why do we emphasize these core values? What's the significance behind them? A lot of times they just go through the motion, but in most cases they're really embracing them and understanding how it impacts your business.
Absolutely.
I think going back, we would have, you know, the accountability piece was a big one for us. You and I, you know, we started in college. Everything we've done is like by on job or on job learning, I guess is what it's called. But the, you know, we didn't have a formal education on how to manage and grow people. So everything's been by trial and error.
Reading a lot of books, listening to a lot of podcasts, making a lot of mistakes.
Correct. But I mean, we would have done a lot better job in holding people accountable. I think firing a lot quicker. I think a lot of companies and young entrepreneurs hold on to people too long.
I agree.
And because you're like, God, I'm not sure how I'm going to get all this done without them or to find somebody. But a lot of times if they're the wrong culture fit and the wrong people for your organization, they can do a lot of damage too. So, what you know, we would have done that differently. But one thing that I think that we over the years learned, and I think, you know, depending on your size of your business and as you grow, bringing in like an HR
fractional company, HR company.
Yeah, to help you and support you. That's been a big help for us.
Yeah.
We do it on a fractional basis, but the organization we use have been awesome. They, when we need coaching, when we need leadership development, when we need, we got to fire an employee or we got to, you know, some situation to deal with, they can come in and support us and help us with the pay. And they do all the job ads and the job descriptions and, you know, for us, but they've been instrumental in helping us grow and keeping us, they'll audit your employee files, making sure you're all up to date, because that's the other big thing is as you get bigger.
And they'll work with your leaders in the organization too, right? Our leaders today are in a leadership
retreat,
you know.
That's put on by the fractional HR company. And it's neat that they're getting developed. They love that you're investing that time and resources into developing them. So that's something we would have done a lot sooner. Something else that we learned along our journey was EOS, which is the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And so we've talked about this on the show, but it's really a system to help grow and scale your company. And so you have like your visionaries, you have your COO or your, that's what I'm looking for, John. implementer or in your business, it's usually your CEO. Yeah. So it implements the strategy, but it gives you at least a clear picture on where you're headed as an organization, and it drives your people. So I always look at it as like you have your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal way out here. Here's where you are at, you know, down here. And you're like looking at that BHAG, you know, like it's so far away. How are we ever going to get there? And what the EOS does is helps point you to that direction towards your BHAG, but then also I think it's like it has bumpers, you know, like bumper on a bowling alley, or it has curbs, and it just keeps you in this street or in this lane as you're working towards your BHAG. That's how I look at EOS. Yeah. Like you might take a curve and try to go here, but then all of a sudden you hit your bumpers and it comes back, and it just keeps you at least headed towards your BHAG. So that's how I look at it visually. But it gives you structure and helps grow your company. So, I mean,
it's a game changer for us when we started that, right?
Yeah.
For our whole team, really.
Yeah, it developed. We didn't have a leadership team before. It was just Joni and I making decisions, probably not communicating them all as much as we should.
That's the biggest thing as well, is that we didn't communicate that. And, you know, now it's like after every leadership meeting or quarterly meeting, we have our goals lined out, and the entire organization
knows where we're headed.
Exactly, is behind it all.
Yeah, so we've learned, obviously, from mistakes. But in the beginning, we would have probably implemented EOS, even if you just had you and your spouse or you and one or two employees, I would still implement EOS. And that might be your whole leadership is those three people or a couple people. But at least as you grow, you all know where you're going. You have your weekly meeting schedule set up. You would have your huddle meeting scheduled. You'd have your quarterlies. You'd have your rocks that you're working on accomplishing. And these are all things that drive the company and drive the towards your BHAG, drive the business. And so with so as you grow, you just adopt more people. And we've even taken it down another layer where our leadership has their L-Tent meetings every week, but then now we're starting to have the pod leads having their own L-Tent meetings. And so it's going down further. So that, and then they're driving their pods, you know, to another level, and which drives the whole business to your goals.
Which gives me kind of goosebumps, because it's kind of cool to see it kind of all, you know, transform, because it's no longer Sean and Joni, you know, doing all this. It's the team.
Correct.
They're behind it all. And so when I get questions like, man, you have all kinds of things going on, you're, you know, speaking and you're have a proper two property management companies, a plumbing company, a VA company, all these things, right? Like, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. It's the team. Really, it's the team that does it. It's because we provide all this to them.
It's the people. And that's what we're getting at with this whole episode, was it comes back to the people. And the people are driving all that.
Yeah.
And good people. And trust me, we've gone through our share of people leaving, you know, us having to move on and stuff like that. And it's tough. And managing people isn't easy. But it's there's still the – you ain't going to get there without people.
Right.
Good people. And so – and I think – going back is like, as a small business or a young or entrepreneur or just a small business in general, you're doing all these other things. You're putting all these fires. You're doing sales. There's so much other stuff in the business. I get it. But rarely do we put any time into the people aspect and the, so like the last two or three years, all I've heard and people complain about is I can't find good people. We can't hire. Hiring's impossible. But then you ask them, okay, well, how much time are you putting towards hiring people? And they're like, I don't know, 10 minutes, I placed an ad, and nobody responded to my ad. Well, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, you're not putting the time that it really requires. Like, why don't you put an hour a day into hiring people? Why don't you... you know, there's many other things you can do, but it's the time. You're not making it a priority. You're not putting focus on it. And then same thing with managing and all that. Well, how much time are you spending coaching and managing your people and holding them accountable? Or how much time, and maybe it's not, you don't have to put the time, but are you putting them in leadership classes to develop them? Are you, there's a lot of things. Are you have customer service workshops to develop them as in their customer service? Are you putting them in, are you training programs in your organization to further development? So I think if you look back, you're probably not investing enough time is why you're not seeing the results.
Absolutely. So quick thing. So today I actually had a call with a brand new franchise coming in into the system, right? And he hasn't even opened his doors yet. And he's calling me because he's hiring his first employee. I thought that was cool. Like, you know, like not even opened his doors yet, but he is focused right off the gates on hiring his first employee.
Wow. So, I mean, we didn't even do that.
Yeah, so I was like, man, that's awesome.
Did you talk to him about developing, you know, putting together?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that we're talking about today and learning from. The last thing that we'll leave you with too, that I think going back to the people aspect that we would have done differently is we would have given more feedback. And I think this is where Joni and I have lacked. And then we've lacked on it personally, but then I think as an organization, we've also lacked in giving good feedback to organizations.
Totally agree. And your employees, your people want that.
Correct. And good feedback both ways. Mm-hmm. Like feedback, number one, they need feedback on what are they doing well? What do they need to do to succeed? What do they need to do to advance in your company? How can they do that? And where, you know, maybe, what are they doing well?
Yeah,
what are
they? Where absolutely.
Can they improve on? But then also the feedback the other way. So
what can we be doing better?
Correct. What can Joni and I be doing as business owners? What can our company do? What can our managers do better to better grow them? And so feedback, I think, is huge. And it comes to, those are like reviews. So, you know, if you're a new hire, you should be meeting with them, probably a 30, 60, 90 day review.
Absolutely.
You should be doing quarterly, semi-annual or annual reviews with your employees, but that's where you give that feedback and give those sessions. And so something we've, you always have the best intentions to do it, and it just never happens.
It's life gets busy, and you think, "Oh, I'll get to it," and then you never do.
Yeah, and they need that. And that, you know, we recently had a couple positions open, and you know, Joni and I obviously thought, "Okay, we know, like, strategically, here's who we're going to advance in our company. Here's what we're doing," and we should have probably given the opportunity for people to hire or to apply
for the position. With
and we could have interviewed everybody, and then based upon that, you know, we could have given better feedback to the people maybe that didn't get selected, rather than get them upset because they weren't even considered. Let them apply. Let everybody apply. Let everybody make their argument. Hear them out. Understand where they're coming from, where they're at. Mm-hmm. But then we could have given better feedback to say, hey, here's maybe why you didn't get the position.
Agreed.
Here's why you were overlooked. Here's what you can do better over the next couple months. Mm-hmm. So when another position opens, you can advance with
that.
And so they need that, and that's just something that, you know, and we try to be as vulnerable as we can on this show.
Absolutely.
To just show, like, hey, this is where we're lacking, and this is, I think it goes across the board, I think, in many organizations, and so we're not the only ones that make these mistakes, but we want to get better, and we want to invest in our people and grow our people, and we realize that we can't accomplish anything without good people, and we can't accomplish our goals and strategies that
without our people.
Yeah, that you and I want to accomplish, so... Hope that was a good takeaway, but that was our what we would do differently. Yeah.
So I think it's great stuff, and you know, again, we're providing value to you in hopes that you take some of the things that we've done wrong and
don't make the same mistakes,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, if you're enjoying this, please share it. We're getting great feedback. I get calls at least once or twice a week from people that listen to the show and just heard about us through the show and. Have some great conversations with them. So we appreciate all of you. Keep sharing it. Keep spreading the word. And also, please like it and give us a rating if you are enjoying the show. And we have some great, we're super excited. We're not going to do a spoiler alert, but we're super excited about some of the guests we have coming on.
Next couple weeks is going to be
over
great.
Over the next couple weeks. So stay tuned. Keep watching, because some big names are going to be dropped on the show. So thanks a lot. Yeah. So, and we'll see you all next week.
See you, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.